Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on Earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my...
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
And hello, welcome in a Tuesday edition of the program live from the Big X Studios in Jeffersonville. We do this show each weekday at 11 a.m., complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and, of course, sports from a local perspective right here in Southern Indiana. Glad to have you with us today. We've got a jammed hour today, so we've got to get right to it. Let's jump into the Honey Baked Ham show lineup today in segment one, our segment presented by Zaxby's instead of our normal headlines we do each day. We'll be joined by a headline football player here for the upcoming season in Southern Indiana. Winkers Wright of Floyd Central will join the program here in just moments. And then later in the show, we'll be talking with Greg Doyle, sports columnist of the Indianapolis Star, presented by Coffee Crossy. I'm curious what Greg thinks. We've got professional sports, at least basketball, NBA, maybe baseball. It's looking like it's a possibility, I think, but we've thought that before. What about some of these basketball players that are either saying they're going to or maybe already have opted out of the rest of the season because of some health concerns? We'll talk about that. We'll talk some IU topics with Greg and a lot more coming up here in just a bit. Also later in the show, Mike Pegram of Pigs.com, our IU go-to on Thursday. He's out today, but Jeff Rabjohns is on in place of him today. So we will have Jeff on. Plenty of recruiting stuff to get to with IU and the basketball team. We know that's going on. We know that athletes are returning to campuses. And of course, as athletes across the country return to campuses, lots of reports about positive tests from the coronavirus. So we'll talk that with Jeff Rabjohns of Pigs.com as well. That's the show lineup for this Tuesday program presented by Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Make sure you check out Honey Baked Ham's dinner specials, dinner package deals that are now being offered. You can find them as a dine-in. You can take them to go and curbside service. It's also still available at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Don't forget also you can participate in the show today. If you got a question or a comment about a guest we have on or about IU basketball or whatever it may be, you can tweet me at Hoosier Hills. Again, all one word, Hoosier Hills on Twitter. You can also follow along there for lots of updates on the show, who's going to join us each day on the program, links to our podcast after the show is in the books each afternoon, and of course, lots of Southern Indiana basketball and other sports news there as well. All right, no headlines today brought to you by Zaxby's, but instead, we welcome Winkers Wright to the program. Winkers is a terrific football player, plays for the Highlanders at Floyd Central, and over the weekend, after being recruited by a number of different schools, Winkers made the decision to commit to Illinois State, so he'll play college football at the Division I level, and I tell you, we're all excited and hopeful that high school football will take place as scheduled this year, and the Highlanders will be one of the better teams in the area with some real opportunity to make some accomplishments down the line a bit. Winkers, first off, welcome to the show, and congratulations on your decision. You're going to play Division I football, and that's a really big deal.
Thank you so much. I'm glad to be here.
Absolutely. Let's talk about Illinois State. I know the recruiting process for you has been going on now for a few years. You've had interest from different schools. You've had some scholarship offers. What about Illinois State stood out to you to make you want to commit there and attend college there and, of course, play for their football team as well?
Yeah, so Illinois State, me and my family just felt really impressed by them. We had a virtual tour where we could see the coaches along with the campus. And then after that, that kind of set us over the edge as thinking, you know, this school is actually pretty good. So that allowed me to consider them as a pretty high option. And then when it came down to it, I just couldn't let that opportunity go without me taking it.
Yeah, you mentioned virtual tour. We've talked some about this from IU basketball and football recruiting standpoint on the show. Because of the coronavirus, things have changed, and you just can't hop in the car with your family and ride up to Illinois State to check out the campus. That sort of activity is shut off right now due to kind of health reasons and NCAA regulations surrounding the pandemic. Virtual tour. Tell us, what's it like? What's a coach show you on a virtual tour when you're watching on your computer screen or on your phone screen with your family?
Yeah, so the way they did it was through like a Google Maps thing. So I actually liked that way a lot because the pictures were pretty clear and it was an overhead view so you could see how the campus was laid out, and it took you through it step by step. So you didn't really get lost. You kind of knew where everything was pretty well.
Winkers Wright of Floyd Central is my guest. He committed to Illinois State over the weekend. I want to talk a little bit about your accomplishments so far at Floyd Central, and then I want to get into the team at Floyd Central and some of your expectations for this upcoming year, which will be your senior year. Last year, you ran 231 times for just over 2,000 yards. You've put some great performances together in the green and gold Floyd Central uniform. Talk about what you've been able to accomplish so far and how you want to kind of catapult that to the next level as a senior.
Yes, sir. So with my accomplishments so far, I would like to continue to get extremely strong in the weight room, and then I want to take that into this upcoming season and see how many more yards or how much bigger I can get, and see what happens with that.
Now, Winkers, it's a different time right now. I mentioned the recruiting. You're doing that. You were doing that by virtual tours and things like that. And obviously, you really can't get with your team just yet and do the workouts that typically you would be doing. That stuff will be able to start very soon. And obviously, we all have our fingers crossed that this virus goes away, that it holds off, and that we're able to have a high school football season that's pretty normal and pretty traditional this year. You've had a lot of downtime. I think all of us have had some downtime in the last couple months, maybe that we did not expect. Did you use any of that downtime to your advantage? Did you work to stay in shape? And I'm curious, as somebody that's pretty driven, as I know you are, how did you keep yourself ready to go for football whenever it would begin again? Did you have private workouts at home? Were you out running every day? I'm curious what your routine was during the quarantine.
Yeah, so at the start of it, I was out running every day and doing some lifting in my own basement. But for the past month and a half, my dad's been putting me to work doing manual labor outside on the deck. So
all right,
that's been my workout for the past month and a half.
That's great. Let's talk about Floyd Central football. It's early to think about the season and given everything that's going on. But one thing that really stands out about Southern Indiana football for the upcoming year is the opportunity for Floyd Central to have a great season. You had a good one last year, really good season a year ago, and, of course, sectional champions a year ago. Goals for this year, you've got some really good talent around you as well. What do you think? What do you expect? What do you hope for the season?
Yeah, so as a team, we hope to be playing late into November. So the joke right now is to be eating Thanksgiving turkey together as a team and then going off to the game the next day. So we have pretty high expectations coming into this upcoming season, so we're going to see what happens.
Absolutely. Now, you've got some other talent on that Floyd Central team, including in the 2021 class. You're the second Division I commitment from Floyd in that class. Talk about some of your teammates that you think are gearing up for big senior seasons as well that you're going to need to find some the success you want to.
Yes, sir. So as most people know, Zen Maholsky, he's the other commitment. He's going to Louisville. We expect big things out of him. And then the quarterback who's a senior is along with me, Tristan Polk. We expect great things out of him as well. And then some of our linemen, Isaac Hatfield, the center. And then we have Trent Hyatt, Caleb Rogers. And I think we're going to have a younger guy, Brandon Fessel, on the line with us too. So we expect great things out of the linemen, reading their blocks correctly. And then we have some defensive guys coming back, like Bryce Tevenot. He was out with an injury last year, along with Luke Medlock. He also broke his collarbone. So we just have some people coming back, and we hope to do great.
Now, with the virus and things slowing down, in fact, shutting down for a while, were you concerned, and are you still concerned about there being a season? We talk about that a lot on this program with coaches and athletic directors and other folks like that, but I really haven't had the chance to ask a player that this potentially could affect your senior season. I haven't had a chance to ask someone like you about it. What are your thoughts on this thing, and how concerned are you about the season being maybe shortened or maybe not happening in a worst-case scenario?
Yeah, so I feel pretty confident that the season will take place, but the scheduling might mess up because, I don't know, maybe some Kentucky schools will be on a later schedule than us, meaning we might have to find a different team to play since they're not allowed to play football at the time that we are. So it's just how everything lines up. That's my only concern, whether or not we'll play football or not.
Absolutely. Winker's right of Floyd Central. He committed to Illinois State over the weekend. He'll play Division I football, is my guest. What about in college, beyond football? I know you're a smart guy. What are you going to major in? What do you want to do? Tell us a little bit more about Winker's right off the football field.
Yes, sir. So I would like to go into business management. I'm not sure if I'm leaning towards the entrepreneurship side, but I want to start in a business and then try to work my way up to as high as possible. And then from the football standpoint, Illinois State has had some pretty good success in the past few years with their running backs and the yards they've had. So I'm hoping that the coaching staff can develop me into a running back like the others.
Absolutely. Winkers, congratulations. You are one of the bright spots, and Floyd Central, one of the bright spots we're looking forward to with our fingers crossed for the upcoming high school football season. Congratulations on your commitment. That's big stuff, man. And we'll be talking to you as we get ready for the season, okay?
All right, sounds good.
All right, again, Winker's right of Floyd Central joining us here in this opening segment presented by Zaxby's. Always fun to talk with our youth. Always fun to talk with student-athletes at the high school level here in Southern Indiana, and we're going to continue to do that as we get ready for the upcoming football season. It's time to talk football, and so we're going to have some of the key players expected on for the upcoming season with us over the next month or so. And in fact, tomorrow, if you're a fan of high school football and want to hear more about it, Steve Cooley, the coach at New Albany, former coach at Jeffersonville and Clarksville, he's going to join us really to talk more about, from a coach's perspective, what he sees for the upcoming season, what this summer is going to look like as far as workouts are concerned with all the regulations that are in place with the pandemic. And the late start obviously completely changes things, I'm assuming, for a football coach and staff as you get ready for the upcoming season. So it's time to start thinking about football. And again, Floyd Central, Winker's right, some of his teammates, they will lead the way, I believe, in this area. They've got a great opportunity to have a wonderful season and some tournament success. A year ago, they were 9-3 and sectional champions, and the opportunity, I think, to better that record and even advance farther in the tournament exists with some of the players on that roster, especially returners and senior leadership. I know Coach Bragg at Floyd Central very excited about his team for this upcoming season. This is your opening segment brought to you by Zaxby's. Zaxby's has locations in Jeffersonville and New Albany, and the drive-through and, of course, the dining rooms open to serve you here in Southern Indiana. We'll head to a commercial break in just a moment. We'll come back with Greg Doyle of the Indianapolis Star, presented by Coffee Crossing. We're going to talk about the return of pro sports with Greg. Players may be opting out of the season because of health concerns, and we're going to talk about wearing masks. Greg Doyle, always interesting, always opinionated. Curious his thoughts on masks. Does he wear one in Indianapolis? And what are his thoughts on masks? We'll do that next, right here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And welcome back on this Tuesday program. Greg Doyle of the Indianapolis Star, sports columnist with the Star. He's my guest each Tuesday in this segment presented by Coffee Crossing. And, Greg, welcome to the show. Lots going on, not on the field or on the court, but in the world of sports as far as recruiting goes from the college level. Lots of stuff with basketball out there. Of course, college athletes as a whole, they are returning to campus in phases at most universities for voluntary workouts. And then at the pro level, we are seeing it unfold in front of us. Is there going to be a baseball season, and will the NBA bubble in Orlando be successful? So in one way or the other, sports always has some headlines out there, and those are some of the things today.
Yeah, we're getting teased a lot, and maybe not entirely teased, but we're certainly getting our hopes up. Baseball, basketball. The NFL has never done anything to take away our hopes, but baseball and basketball have kind of flirted with us, toyed with us, and we seem to be really, really close, which will make it all the worse if it falls through. And I think everybody knows it could for all kinds of reasons. You know, one thing I want to just mention real quick that you didn't mention and I didn't tell you before the show that, hey, let's talk about this. But yesterday, what happened with Bubba Wallace?
Yes.
You know that image of just the entire sport walking behind him?
Powerful.
You know, walking the car?
Yeah.
Right?
Yes, very powerful image.
Yeah, I was thinking when I watched that image, and just, you know, they had that great shot from kind of overhead and in front a little bit, so you could just see just this stream of all these, you know, because they're NASCAR, they wear all these colors, so all these, it's like this rainbow of colors, which is kind of perfect, just marching behind with them. And the only thing that came to my mind that I've seen that kind of resembles that, and I don't mean to be, you know, I'm not trying to play let's talk about more black athletes, because that's not my goal here, but when Tiger Woods won the Masters, there's this great shot of him coming down, I think it was 18 or something, and I mean won the Masters like last year, whenever that was, and he kind of looks over, and the shot's taken from a similar angle as the Bubba Wallace shot, and he kind of looks over his shoulder at what's happening behind him, and what's happening behind him is the entire golf course, like every single fan that was there. He looked like the Pied Piper. He had a river of people behind him, and I don't mean like a trickle. I mean like the Mississippi River was behind him, just following him, and it was remarkable. And I'd never really seen any image like that. And then you see this one. And by the way, the only other thing that pops in my head, just my brain kind of works like this, something else popped in my head, and it's Romeo Langford. It's not quite nearly as momentous as either of those two things, but I was there at the Seymour sectional, regional, something when he was a senior. Pretty sure you were there, Matt. Was it Seymour? Was that sectional?
Well, that could have been sectional, regional, or semi-state, the way that worked that year, all at Seymour. Was it the Warren Central game?
You know, I don't remember. Okay. I don't remember which game it was. All I remember was after the game, when y'all had, New Albany had won, whatever it was, it was over, and he's clipping the net down, and everybody's clipping the nets down, and he's still standing on the ladder, and I've got a picture. I took a picture. It's in my phone. He's standing on the ladder under the rim. He's like clipping, you know, the net, twines the nets down, and fans are reaching to him. I think they're reaching to him for pieces of net.
I remember that. Yeah, I remember the photo. Yeah, I think the photo, either you or someone had it, is published.
Yeah, I took it, and I think we ran it. Yeah, and it was amazing to see one person and have just all these outstretched arms. Anyway, those are the three things I think about when I think of Bubba Wallace. One is obviously Bubba. The other one is Tiger Woods. The other one is that Romeo Langford image.
Yeah, and the other thing about the Bubba Wallace thing last night before we get into some of the other topics is I forget where I read this, and I forget the specific driver's name because he should be recognized for this, but that whole thing started with one text from another driver to Bubba that said, hey, in support of you, I want to walk with you as you pull your car out or whatever it's called, to get ready for the start. And I guess other drivers found out, and it became all the drivers basically said, hey, we're going to do the same thing. We're going to show that the sport is in unison behind Bubba Wallace. And then before you know it, the pit crews and the other personnel that were there and essential, obviously allowed to be there, they say, hey, we want part of this as well. So it equaled what you said. It was almost like a rainbow of support of all the different colors and all the different teams, starting with the drivers up front, followed by the pit personnel and other people. So, again, very cool image. And another thing last night, I didn't see it live. I've tried to watch a little NASCAR here and there because there's been nothing else on. Can't say in a normal sports world I would watch a whole bunch of it. But the finish to the race last night, if you're not a NASCAR fan or you're just watching because there's no sports, it was like four wide photo finish, just crazy.
Yeah, and the guy that finished third, I guess Almirola, he finished third going backwards because there had been a
there had been
a crash.
All right,
yeah, there had been a crash right on that last straightaway, and all hell's breaking out behind the leaders, and Almirola was caught up in it, and his car spins around, and he's going backwards, it's a 0.07 of a second finish, and he finishes third just barely going backwards, and it was Jimmy Johnson, by the way, that started the whole Bubba Wallace report.
Yeah.
And I'm getting my reporting from Marty Smith of ESPN, who's been fabulous through all this. And I saw Marty at the Indy 500 a couple years ago. I don't know if it was the it probably was the 100th. That might be why he was there. I don't think he goes every year, but I saw him 1 year, and I'm from Mississippi and Georgia, and I've lost a lot of my accents. So I'm not sure. And down in southern Indiana, I'm sure people have some of an accent, so maybe no one can even hear mine, which is was a shame because I hate that I lost most of my accent. But I love that Marty Smith still has his. And I told him, Marty, I've never met him before, and I don't know if this is insulting him or what. I have no idea, but hopefully he knew that I meant this in a good way. But that someone like you really shouldn't be on TV, and I've never really heard someone like you. And good for you for making it, because the odds of, that kind of accent, that's just not typical TV. And, of course, things are changing in a lot of ways. But anyway, I love that Marty's on there. But his reporting says that, and I love this, that NASCAR has this, like, pre-race text message chain where all the drivers, they're all in it together, and they all kind of just talk on a text message chain, and that's where it started. Jimmie Johnson said, "Hey guys, I'm gonna stand with Bubba for the anthem," and everybody started chiming in, "Yeah, me too, me too, me too." And I think it was Kevin Harvick said, "Well, I want to help. I think we should push his car to the front." So it was Jimmie Johnson and then Kevin Harvick.
Yeah, it's great, great, and it was a powerful image, and NASCAR sure had it out there last night. Again, I didn't watch the race, but they did have that clip and some others. It was great. Again, thanks for bringing that up. That wasn't on my list, but definitely a worthy topic, especially right now. I do want to get your thoughts on, like, NBA specifically. There have been a number of players. I'm not sure any major names, but again, I haven't followed it that closely. Some saying they're going to, or a couple opting out of their contracts, however that works, for this Orlando bubble, for the return to the season. What do you make of that? Should fans of those specific teams, let's say that a Pacer, let's say Vic Oladipo decided that, you know what, I've got some health concerns. Obviously, he does have some health concerns. I'm not even sure that because of other concerns he's going to be back in Orlando. But let's say he was healthy otherwise. Is it fair for a player to say, I'm not going to do it, I'm going to sit out the rest of the way because of concerns of the bubble, concerns of the coronavirus, concerns of being with their family in a time that's during a pandemic? What are your thoughts on that?
Well, first of all, Oladipo is apparently on the fence. Do you know that he's on the fence?
I thought he was on the fence because of not being recovered enough from his injuries yet. I didn't know it was because of the pandemic or the concerns of health, otherwise.
No, it is because the health recovered from the injury. Just,
okay.
You brought him up, and
yeah.
I wasn't sure if you're bringing him
yeah.
up just kind of to name an IU player, but yeah.
Right.
He's on the fence from Wojnarowski says that. So anyway, he is on the fence, but Justin Holliday of the Pacers is apparently on the fence, or maybe he's decided not to. I'm not. All I know is that every Pacer is going to be there. Well, Oladipo's got the health concerns, and then Holliday is on the fence. Davis Bertans of the Wizards, one of the best 3-point shooters in the league. He's not going to go, but he's had a couple ACLs. So the only person that I know of that might not go for health reasons right now is Justin Holliday, but he's certainly not the only one. We just don't know those names yet. Right now, the COVID, the coronavirus it's never gone away. So it's kind of the curve flattened, I guess, but it flattened at a really high level. We talk about flattening the curve. You can flatten the curve and it kind of is a low level and it's not that big a deal in the larger scheme of things. Or you can flatten the curve and the curve's still up there pretty damn high, but at least it's flat up high. It's no longer spiking. It's just, it's kind of like the price of gas. The price of gas can stop rising at $1.50 and we're all happy. The curve can flatten at 380, and we're not happy. Well, the COVID curve has flattened at 380, and so if we're happy with paying 380 for gas and with where the COVID curve, okay, great. It flattened. People are dying left and right, but okay, that's great. Right now in America, there's a couple states that are getting hit harder than others because these things just come and go. And the two states getting hit the hardest right now, I think, are Texas and Florida. And, the bubble, the NBA bubble, is going to be in Florida. In Florida, the county, and I know this because my dad lives in Central Florida. He lives right there. In Florida, the county getting hit the hardest right now is Orange County. And people that don't know where Orange County is, I'll tell you the biggest city in Orange County. It's Orlando. And that's where the NBA bubble is going to be. And so there are people, a lot of people, that want to combat what I just said with, yeah, but they're in a bubble, so who cares? Okay. Easy for you to say, tough guy. Really easy. Like, how come a boxer sometimes takes a knee when he's getting beat up? Well, why don't you go in there and get punched in the face 12 times and then see how brave you are? So people have been brave, but it's a bubble. They're still flying to Orlando. just about the worst county in America right now, for whatever reason. They're flying there. And they've got to get from the arena to the bubble. And they've got to hope. And it's not like we know what the coronavirus is entirely. We have no idea how contagious this thing is. Hence, people, you know, the government talking about wear a mask, don't wear a mask. 6 feet's enough, it's not enough. Whatever. I mean, no one knows. So the idea that this airborne disease, clearly airborne disease, that we can just put these people in this bubble in just about the worst county in America, and it'll be okay. And the bubble, by the way, it's not a biodome. They're not really in a bubble. They're still going to the hotel. They're not in a bubble. Like, people hear the word bubble. Oh, they're in Saran Wrap. They're fine. They're not Saran Wrap. They're in a hotel. They're in an arena. They're walking around, breathing the same air that the worst county almost in America is breathing. But let's just go ahead and send them there anyway. And I think that we are, and I'm not saying we shouldn't. I'm answering your question to say, is anybody selfish if they decide they don't want to go for this train wreck of a season that'll have an asterisk on it anyway? I mean, if you're one of the two or three or four teams with a really shot at the title and you still don't go, that's not selfish either. But short of those three or four teams, I'm not sure why anybody would really go. I mean, you're going to miss out on a little bit of salary, but not much. 8 regular season games, I think, and then the playoff series. So is anybody selfish for not going? No. You know, part of me thinks it's almost selfish of the NBA to do this because, again, the COVID curve is in places, not in Florida, but in places it's flattened. And to use my analogy, it's flattened, and we're all paying $380 a gallon. That's not a good place to be flattened. So part of me is not real happy the NBA is even doing this because it kind of suggests that we're okay. And you see people, and you hear reports of people that I'm out at dinner in this state or this state and no one's got a mask, or, you know, or I'm walking the mall or walking whatever and no one's got the mask. And in Florida, well, hell, it was in South Carolina where they had the golf tournament recently, and that Watney tested positive. And Jordan Spieth was saying that, you know, he was out in the town and he looked at the beach and he was at restaurants and everybody's, there's no social distancing and they're all hanging out and they're all at the beach and they're all doing what they're acting like life is normal. It's not normal. And it's kind of selfish of, I don't know if selfish is the right word, but dangerous of sports leagues to kind of give the weak among us. And by weak, I mean people that just kind of want to believe the best. They want to hope, you know, I think we're going to beat the COVID virus. Why? Because I want to. Well, that's not good enough. I think Indiana is going to get that recruit. Why? Because I want Indiana to. It's not good enough. Like, your hopes don't mean squat. Science should dictate everything right now, and nobody wants to be where we are, but we are where we are. Look around. We are on this road, and we can't get off this road, and we can all pretend that the road's going to change in a little while. No, it's not. So the whole thing pisses me off, as you can tell, because I just don't like – I've spent this whole life as a sports writer dealing with sports as facts, and I've spent my whole life, and of course Twitter makes it so much worse because I can hear from everybody now in a bad way. And all I do is talk to people, whether it's radio hosts, not you, not ever you, but whether it's a radio host here or people on Twitter there or fans at grocery stores, and I hear people talking to me about what they believe is going to happen, what they know is going to happen in sports, whether it's recruiting or my team's going to win or I can't believe you picked, your bracket has, you know, Navy losing in the first round. I know, you know people tell me they things they want to have happen, and they tell it to me like it's a fact. It's going to happen. Why? Because I want it to. And that's, this COVID thing is the ultimate example of things are going to happen in a good way. Oh, really? Why? Because I want them to. That's not good enough. Now with people dying.
Yeah, absolutely. Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star, presented by Coffee Crossing. You touched on this a bit, and we've obviously in the last, I don't know, month, 2 months, had some non-sports discussions, but they've been fun because you're opinionated, you're just entertaining, and people like it. So today, and one of the things we said we were going to talk about is wearing a mask. And again, you touched on this, hearing reports here or there, people eating out, no one with mask on. How strong are you on wearing a mask in public? And I assume in Indianapolis you do. What do you see from others?
Well, two things about that. One is I keep a mask, a couple, in my car, but there have been times when I've, you know, forgotten, because I've not lived my whole life wearing masks. So every now and then I get out of my car and walk into the store and I forget I don't have it. And I'm so embarrassed, and I feel bad because everybody that I see that's wearing a mask, they're doing the right thing, and they're obviously concerned about their health and others, and they see me not wearing one, and they think of me, they might, and they'd be right because at that moment I'm being selfish. They think of me the way I think of people when I see people without a mask, and I think, you selfish jerk. And I'm sorry if I'm hurting anybody's feelings out there, but listen up. this, we're paying $3.80 a gallon for gas, and we're going to keep paying $3.80 a gallon of gas until people like you wear masks and we really flatten this damn curve. So it's the people that aren't wearing, and because you can find them now everywhere. They're everywhere. There was a shortage on masks. I get it. The supply chain wasn't built for 200 million Americans needing a mask on March 15th. It wasn't ready for that, and so there was a shortage. Not anymore. They're everywhere. And the people that don't wear them pretty much are the people that, let's just get life back to normal. And let's have sports, and let's have arenas full, and let's got to live our life. Okay, if that's what you want, and of course it's what we all want, but if you're on the front line of let's get back to normal, guess the fastest way to get back to normal, idiot. Put a mask on your face. Don't catch it from somebody else. Don't give it to somebody else because you have it and don't know it. I mean, how selfish are you? There's nothing cool about not wearing a mask. There's nothing masculine about not wearing a mask. The UFC fighters wear masks. Are you tougher than them? I don't understand the lack of intelligence, the lack of care for others. I'm really big on, believe it or not, the way I talk, but I'm really big on consideration. What other people care about, what matters to other people matters to me. And other people's health matters to me. And holding the door for somebody matters to me. And helping somebody else out in some little way matters to me. All you got to do is wear a mask. And if you think, and here's the thing, people that don't wear masks are probably thinking, I look tough out here because I'm not wearing a mask. All these mask wearers are scared to death. And they look at me and they realize, no, I'm brave. No, we're looking at you and we're thinking, not only are you not brave, you're too scared to show weakness. You're too scared to show that you're too weak to show that you don't have all the answers and you might need a little bit of help. So people that say I'm sorry are not weak. People that say I'm sorry are strong enough to admit they don't have all the answers. People that wear masks are not weak. We're strong enough to admit this is scary and it's okay to be scared. People that don't wear masks are absolute idiots.
Good stuff. Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star. Appreciate the take. Love the take, man. Thanks for always coming on, whether it's sports or non-sports, and sharing good stuff.
Yeah, and you know how I oftentimes go off on a rant, and at the end of the rant I apologize because I calm down and I realize, yeah, I went too far. I'm not apologizing for that one because I'm not going on a rant because all you crazy people are messing up the recruiting of this school or that school because you want – no, this is not sports. This is life, and I'm not apologizing for calling every one of you who's willingly choosing not to wear a mask, willingly choosing. I'm calling you an idiot. I'm calling every one of you an idiot, and if you want to unfollow me on Twitter – please get away because you're dumbing down my crew. Like my Twitter audience has a certain IQ, and every person on there that doesn't wear a mask, you're screwing it up for everybody else. So get the hell off there. Anyway, Matt, thank you for having me on.
Absolutely. Greg, as always, enjoyed it. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Yep, bye.
All right, Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star, presented by Coffee Crossing. Always fun with Greg. Sports, non-sports, he's a ball of fire, and I look forward to hearing him on Tuesday. Good stuff. And if it cut out a couple times, Doug, I'm not sure how long when you hit that button that we go off. But Greg did have a couple cuss word slips. So if you heard some cutouts in that segment, that's what it was. Greg Doyle, presented by Coffee Crossing, always with us Tuesdays on the program. We'll head to a commercial break. We'll come back. It's all IU the rest of the way. We're going to talk with Jeff Rabjohns of Pigs.com on basketball recruiting and more after this on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And welcome back. Final segment on this Tuesday program. We get the opportunity today to chat with Jeff Rabjohns of Pigs.com. Normally, we have Mike Pegram in this segment, but he is out again this week. And Jeff, great timing because there's been lots of activity on the IU basketball recruiting front, especially in the 2021 class. There are a few new names that Archie Miller and the staff have reached out to, and also some new scholarship offers from the staff to some young prospects as well. Great to have you with us today, Jeff.
Absolutely. Great to talk with you. And the other great thing is, guys are back playing basketball, baby. We got to watch live basketball all weekend, and it was just terrific.
Let's start with that. That wasn't on my list, but I do want to bring that, now that you mentioned that, you were in Indianapolis on Friday, and you were at an open run, which is basically an open gym, kind of an invite-only deal where some of the top players, some at Metro Indianapolis were there. Then you got the opportunity to watch some travel tournament action on Saturday and Sunday. Tell us about both, and also on the travel tournament side, as we think about recruiting getting back to normal, maybe there being a fall evaluation period for coaches to be able to get on the road, what did it look like? We just had Greg Doyle on in the last segment. Were people wearing masks? Were the coaches wearing masks? How different was basketball over the weekend for you?
I mean, most of the spectators were wearing masks. And I think as long as, you know, people do wear masks, I don't think you're going to have the risk of, you know, the health inspector coming in and shutting it down. So I think that is going to matter. There was also a limit, a very strict limit, on number of people who could be in the venue during the tournament action on Saturday. Teams would play back-to-back. You played different teams, but they set it up to where teams in this would play back-to-back. So you come in, you play your two games. All right, you guys, your coaches, your parents, boom, you guys leave. All right, now next group comes in. And they were being really careful with the count on number of people in. It was almost like a, you know, like a big popular bar on a Friday night. Capacity 300. Okay, 10 people leave, 10 people can come in. That's kind of simplification, but that's how it was working. And everybody just kind of said, okay, hey, you know, all we got to do is, you know, follow these timing guidelines, wear a mask, and kids get to play basketball. Cool, no problem. So I certainly think the model has an opportunity to be in place and remain in place. And it was really good to get in the gym and watch guys compete.
Jeff Rabjohns, Pigs.com, is my guest. Yeah, thanks for that. I was envious of you. I saw your tweets from Friday through the weekend, back getting some normalcy, some live basketball in your life. And I know that I've missed that. I can speak for a lot of people here in Southern Indiana. I think we've missed any sort of live basketball happening. June would normally be a pretty busy month with high school summer leagues and, of course, travel ball and a lot of other stuff going on. But we've been shorted all that because of this pandemic that we're in. Let's get to some IU basketball stuff, some recruiting stuff, a number of new names out there. And, again, when we talk with Jeff, all the names that we talk about, that he gives some information on, he's got full reports if you're a subscriber of the Pigs.com website that you can read. But one thing that's not been slow has been recruiting. It continues. It's virtual. It's by the phone. It's using FaceTime to communicate with players. But Indiana has appeared to be interested in a number of other players, including some scholarship offers that have went out here recently. Can you tell us more about those offers and about some of these names? Because they're not necessarily in-state guys. It's recruiting some out-of-state players that we don't know as much about.
Sure, sure. I think the two guys maybe who probably jump out the most as far as recent offers are A.J. Casey, a five-star prospect from up in the Chicago area. He's around 6'8", 6'9", really talented, very athletic, moves really, really well. He's certainly got a chance to be a big-time prospect. He received an Indiana scholarship offer just recently. And they did it the way, you know, you're doing it these days on what they call a virtual visit, which is an online entity. And the schools show the player, you know, some video clips, some slides, a lot of things. I've had a chance to kind of see some of what IU does, and I think it's really good. Does a good job of showing what you can. And I would call it a virtual visit. It does a really good job of showing, okay, here's Assembly Hall, here's Cook Hall, here's the Zeller Oladipo Lounge area. Here's where you would train. Here's the Evolve apartments. Here's what they look like. Here's where you would live. Here's the proximity. You walk out of your apartment. You walk across the street. Boom. To your left, there's the football stadium. Walk across the parking lot. Hey, you're right there at Assembly Hall and Cook Hall. So the method, I think, is pretty good for what you have to do, you know, the options that you have. Casey's a really good player. He's versatile. He's kind of a modern forward who can play inside and out. Indiana was one of the schools that is offered early, along with Illinois, DePaul, Kansas, Purdue, Nebraska, some others. Gonzaga is also involved there. He told me that one of the schools he wants to visit is Indiana whenever he can. Obviously, that's going to be down the line. But A.J. Casey, five-star, class of 2022 forward out of Chicago, that's one new offer. Another one, maybe a little bit more familiar name, Tay Davis. A lot of people see his formal listing as Deontay Davis. He goes by Tay Davis, 6'7" forward from Warren Central. He played last year at Lawrence Central in Indianapolis. He'll be playing at Warren Central this coming year because his dad is the new head coach at Warren Central. He's ranked number 74 nationally by 24/7 Sports in the 2022 class. I think that's a pretty good ranking. He's got the ability to score on the move. His shot's improving. He's got really good size, good athleticism. I think his versatility and his length are something that a lot of schools are really going to like. I think a lot of people know, but his older brother, Dre Davis, is a 2020 Louisville commit, will be a freshman at Louisville this year. So Louisville is among the schools that will matter with Tay as well. But one of the interesting things was talking with Tay, you know, he went out of his way to kind of make the point, hey, you know, my brother's going to Louisville, but I'm going to, my recruitment's going to be mine. I'm going to look at schools based upon what's best for me, my relationship with coaches, my fit. And certainly Louisville is going to matter, but, you know, he did make the point that he's going to look at schools on his own. You know, he's already got offers from Indiana, Louisville, Purdue, Butler, Xavier. Other schools involved include UCLA, Ohio State, Cincinnati, Iowa, Illinois, and several others. So he's going to be a pretty highly sought-after player here in the Midwest, I think.
Jeff Rabjohns of Pigs.com with some great recruiting insight. And again, for more on all of those players, check out Jeff's reports on the Pigs.com website if you are a subscriber. The summer is different so far. We have not had June ball in high school ball in the month of June, which of course included one weekend for college, actually two weekends for college coaches to get out and recruit. Those obviously canceled. Now as we get ready for July, typically that would be a big month for the shoe circuits. Most of that is all off. And, of course, college coaches cannot be at any of the events going on. There is hope for a fall evaluation period. We spoke with you about that the last time you were on. But this summer, these prospects that you're telling us about that Indiana's recruiting, some of the big names in the state, Trey Kaufman and others, are they going to be playing in July without college coaches? Given that you were out at basketball this weekend, given that you talked to the tournament organizers, do you think that some of the top-level players still play? Some of the better teams, the Indiana Elites, the Indy Heat teams out of Fort Wayne, do they still play without college coaches in the month of July at some of these events?
I think they do. I think they do. And the reason I say that is because a lot of the top players are playing now in June. And they're playing for a couple reasons. One, a lot of these guys basically told me over the weekend, I want to play. You know, I'm a basketball player. I don't want to spend 5 months training not playing. I want to play basketball. And you had guys like, you know, Caleb First committed already to Purdue. Luke Goody committed to Illinois. Pierce Thomas committed to Butler. Meechie Johnson committed to Ohio State. Those guys all played on Saturday and competed really hard. So I think part of it is guys want to play, guys want to compete. Guys want to test their skills. That was an interesting thing that Trey Kaufman told me when I talked to him. He said, I want to play because, you know, I want to test my skills. He said, I want to get pushed. I want competition. And the other thing is, at a lot of these events, the games are either streamed or recorded so the college coaches can watch them. So college coaches still can actually watch them for evaluation purposes. Can't be in the gym, but you can still watch either a stream or recording. So that's part of it. So guys like Blake Wesley, you know, who has an IU offer, Notre Dame, Purdue, Louisville, others also involved there. You know, college coaches can watch how he played on Saturday. And he played very well, by the way. Hit some threes, was very good attacking the rim, very, very good in the open court. So I think guys, for the most part, do play. I don't know if everybody plays, but a lot of them are already playing. You know, I think the best players like Trey Kaufman, Logan Duncombe, the center from Cincinnati Moeller, already committed to Indiana. you know, he's going through workouts and stuff with Indiana Elite. The Indy Heat guys are playing. So I do think we see a reasonable number of guys play as long as, you know, games are allowed to play. I don't think we see the big national tournaments. I don't think you're going to see a ton of players getting on airplanes and going long distances to play. I think that's going to be, a little bit of it might happen, but I don't think that's going to be the norm this summer. I think you're going to see a lot more regional type events, something in the general vicinity of what we saw this past weekend up in Lafayette and up in Fort Wayne. And I think there's going to be some things in the Indy area that'll probably be pretty good over the course of the summer.
Jeff Rabjohns, Peaks.com. All great stuff, all recruiting in this segment today. And, Jeff, I've known you for years, and somehow I knew that the very first opportunity to get out and see live basketball, which I guess according to Governor Holcomb's return to normalcy, or to return to new normal is how I call it, plan, Friday was legally the first day that you could play a true basketball game in the state. And guess what? On Friday night, Jeff Rabjohns is in the gym. So you're the man. You're the first out there and one of the best at what you do, and I appreciate your willingness to come on from time to time with us and share your great insight on the program.
Matt, thanks so much, man. And, dude, you know me very well. You know me very well.
Absolutely.
There was no doubt when I heard, okay, Friday they can play indoors. I'm like, I'm finding the gym. I'm finding where all these guys are. And when I found out C.J. Gunn and Leland Walker and Tayshaun Comer and Pete Suter and all those guys, even some college guys were playing on Friday night, I was like, all right, I'm going to be at the factory, and we're watching all night long, baby.
Yeah, great stuff. Jeff Rabjohns, Peaks.com. Follow him at Jeff Rabjohns. Buddy, I'll talk with you again real soon.
Sounds good, my friend. Take care.
That's going to wrap things up for this Tuesday edition of the program. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.